W252DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Across the plains, they're surveying damage after tornadoes and powerful winds swept through. Some people in Michigan, meanwhile, are facing a fifth day without power after an ice storm struck last week. Democratic Congresswoman Elisa Slotkin of Michigan says she will seek the Senate seat being vacated by Democrat Debbie Stabenow, who will not run for re-election next year. Rescuers are searching for dozens of migrants feared dead and missing after their boat broke up on a reef. ABC's Ines de la Cotera is on the scene in Italy.
At least 62 people killed, including children. Rows of coffins laid out near the beach, dozens still missing at sea. At least 80 migrants found alive, clinging to the boat's wreckage. Some brought back to shore, wrapped in blankets. Officials saying the boat set out from Turkey days ago with nearly 200 people on board, most from Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Somalia.
The Supreme Court is gearing up to hear arguments over President Biden's student debt relief plan. This is ABC News. Federal investigators have released a preliminary report saying five people were killed when a medical plane broke apart in midair at about 19,000 feet over Nevada this weekend. History has been made at the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
It's all about Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Kikui Kwan.
Kikui Kwan winning Best Supporting Actor, the first Asian male to win any solo SAG film award.
This moment no longer belongs to just me. It also belongs to everyone who has asked for change.
Its co-star Michelle Yeoh won Best Actress, the first Asian woman to win in that category.
This is for every little girl that looks like me.
Star Jamie Lee Curtis won Best Supporting Actress, and Everything Everywhere also won Best Ensemble, the first film to win four awards in SAG Awards history. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
James Bond books have been edited to remove racist references to black people. The publisher says the new editions of Ian Fleming's work will also carry a disclaimer, but dated descriptions of other ethnicities remain. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Whoever fired the gun that killed a 12-year-old boy at a teenager's birthday party in West Allis Saturday night is still out there somewhere. Another child was sent to the hospital. There were about 60 people in the room at the time. $10 million is the record for spending on a Wisconsin Supreme Court race. So far, the spring's candidates and outside groups have spent more than $7.3 million. Janet Protasiewicz is getting help from Democrats who say much is at stake.
We really can leave no stone unturned because the stakes for the freedom to control your own body, the freedom to live in a democracy, are so vast.
Ben Wickler is chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He was on Upfront yesterday. In sports, The Athletic reports Mark Lassery has an agreement to sell his share of the Bucks to Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy Haslam for about $3.5 million. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell with a team of political experts will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
You've kept up with the times. For example, you're fluent in texting.
Honey, what does IGTTSWA mean?
It means I'm going to the store, want anything.
If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
They can't tell you one thing that Ron Johnson has done to support them. I don't understand that. I never will understand it. I know we've got conservative listeners, but I asked them to point to one thing that Ron Johnson has done to make their lives any better, and they can't point to any of it.
Conversations that hit home every day. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media.
I pick one. We can just play three headlines and a lie.
Fantastic. I saw it go. Who could have thought that?
Who could have predicted this?
Who would have seen that coming, and why didn't anyone warn them? I saw it go.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin, happy rainy Monday. Spring showers? Is that what we're doing with Jane Mattner?
Yeah, I was a little surprised by the thunder and lightning about 7 o'clock this morning as I was just about to head out the door.
Yeah, it was a little after all the snowstorms the last 2 weeks. Having a thunderstorm, not on my bingo card.
Yeah,
certainly not. But happy Monday. How you doing?
I am doing well. Just a one little quick road note, checking out the 511wi.gov website. Again, it's always a good resource for you to check if you want to see what the roads are like around the state. We do have some accidents scattered primarily around Green Bay, it looks like, because they're getting a different snow ice kind of mess. And then around Nina as well. But otherwise, things don't look too terrible.
Too terrible. Is this all supposed to freeze?
The central part, north of us, it might not be good.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. We have some ice, the potential for some ice skating rinks.
I'm getting to the point. I know everyone's going to say, oh, this winter has been really easy, and it has been really easy. But I just, the snowbanks, I'm done with the snowbanks. I got stuck in my snowbank again this morning.
Did you really coming out of your driveway?
Well, Mike parked behind me, and so I was trying to not hit his car, which was very thoughtful of me because I think normally in the morning I wouldn't have looked and I would have just backed into him. But I was trying to avoid him ever so gently, and then I stopped looking behind me once I cleared his car and just went a little bit off the driveway, and my California snow tires just plop. Stuck me right in the middle of the snowbank, and Michael had to come out in his sweatpants and shovel me out and push me out on my way.
In the rain. Oh, I bet he loved that. That's being a good husband.
He is a good husband. Yes. He is a very good husband. Thank you, Michael. All right. Well, today, we have a ton of guests today.
We do.
Coming up in the noon hour, we are talking to Professor John Sheldon about his new book that looks at the evolution of education and when education went from being, especially public education, went from being the public good because it was teaching people about how to be a participant in democracy to the linchpin of economic mobility.
So, like, you have to go to, either you go to college or you're never going to succeed.
Or you finish high school and you're never going to succeed, right? The shift of its purpose. And so he wrote a whole book on that. So he's going to be joining at noon to talk about that. And then we're going to be talking to Colleen McCarthy, who's the VP of Versiti Organ and Tissue Donations. And you actually found this because we got a PSA
announcement. We did. We got a PSA announcement on just about organ donation and how important it is. And I have done other stories about organ donation, even body donation, which is something that I also would like us to talk about down
the
road.
You're donating your entire body to science?
Yeah, you can donate your body to science and who they take and what they do. And it's really, really interesting. But yeah, organ donation is something that I don't think many people think about unless it affects someone in your own life.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Although when you say, and we'll get into it with Colleen, but when you say body donation, all I can think of is Body Works. Remember that that wild exhibit?
Yes.
And then they kind of got in trouble because then they started investigating, like, where did all these bodies actually come from, man?
Did they say yes?
Did they say yes?
No, that's not what happens, at least when you donate it to the Medical College of Wisconsin.
I would love to be immortalized in some kind of scientific touring museum thing. Rather than, like, I don't know, either be cremated or buried somewhere. Like, that feels more useful.
Absolutely. And I know there are people who have written letters to the medical students who will be studying on them because that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, that's called practice.
Anyways, well, that's coming up in the noon hour. But to start off today, you know, ticked off, tee off. That's one of the better names we've come up with so far. I really like the ticked off, tee off. You know, the Party of Freedom. At it again, just really giving you the freedom to do what you want because this is a free country. We have to travel to Tennessee for this story.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one of them had to be the first. As long as Wisconsin wasn't the first in this arena, which is so long as we have split government, we won't be. But no doubt this bill could come. Something like this could start getting circulated around in Madison, in certain legislative offices. But Tennessee will be the first state to restrict drag shows. And this last week, Tennessee lawmakers passed the nation's first bill restricting public drag performances. It's the first to pass, but there are at least 20 similar bills proposed around the country by Republican politicians. And it basically says, quote, adult cabaret entertainment on public property or anywhere children might see. It puts male or female impersonators. So not, it doesn't say specifically drag performers. It says male or female impersonators.
Okay.
Into that category, regardless of the content of their performance. So it's not burlesque. It's not stripping of any sort. It is any kind of male or female impersonator doing anything. So like
on public property, though. So we're talking about parks.
We're talking about parades.
Oh, parades.
Or any kind of restaurant where children could potentially be. So basically anywhere that a child could be. So I think this is basically restricting it to 18 and up private
events.
So proponents of the bill says it protects children from sexualized performances. And despite the fact that Tennessee has had obscenity laws in place that ban things like nudity and sexual content in front of minors. And so basically it eliminates all ages drag shows like drag brunches and drag queen story hours. And it severely limits what will be possible at public pride parades. The language of the legislation could also be interpreted to apply to trans people doing any kind of performance, not just drag. So think about that. So someone who is trans, which there's two different things. There's people who are drag performers and they can be drag queens and they have the makeup and the wig and the lip syncing and the performance, right?
Right.
And there are drag kings. There's women who dress up as men and do a performance. There's also trans people who are actors and they are playing a role but their actual body for themselves are trans. And so I think there is worry that this limits trans people
from acting,
from performing potentially. And it's just show me any evidence of how this solves anything. Because I know we're beating a dead horse when we point to the countless child sex scandals in churches.
It's astonishing. There are several a week.
And yet, we don't see any bans there. Kids can't go to church, even though there is so much more evidence that they will be
groomed
and have predatory people they're supposed to trust. And yet, Hamburger Mary's can't be in Tennessee anymore. Really, really getting to the root of the problem.
Well, and again, I would like to see some evidence of trans attacks on children or drag performers' attacks on children.
I know.
I follow the news pretty closely, as do you. I have yet to see one instance.
Because you know if it happened.
Oh, it would be everywhere.
Everywhere.
Absolutely.
It would be everywhere if it actually would have happened anywhere.
Yes.
And it just makes you come back to saying, thank God Tony Evers was elected again. Because there's no reason why this, like, I would have to look up what the other 20 states that are circulating something like this. But that's not it. I mean, this is the same thing we talked about, some of the anti-trans, like, youth stuff that's been going on. But there's at least 340 anti-LGBTQ bills that range from limiting gender-affirming care to mandating which bathroom people can use that has been introduced this year. We're at the end of February.
Yeah.
340 bills. Like, what are we doing?
It's called distraction.
Oh, why did my camera just move?
Don't you think? It's called, again, we need a boogeyman. We need someone to scare people with. So we're going to go after the trans and LGBTQ community and make them the latest other.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just like, how do people fall for this so easily?
Well, it depends upon what news outlets or alleged news outlets you watch.
Because I was talking to a friend last night and he asked my opinion on the Roald Dahl thing. Because if the Roald Dahl books, there's the group, the private entity that owns the rights to Roald Dahl's books are making the choice that they're updating some of the language, and there is a big debate on, like, is this ruining his canon and all this stuff? Because I didn't know about this. Do you know that in the original book, it wasn't Oompa Loompas that were from some magical island? It was African pygmies.
Oh.
And they changed that for the movie. They changed that for the Gene Wilder movie.
In Willy Wonka.
So, like, there's certain things that were updated, but then there's a lot of pushback on, like, oh, you can't call the character, like, they're not going to call the big
fat
anymore and stuff like that. So I was listening to an interesting debate on that, and I had a friend be like, well, what do you think about this? He's like, I feel like the liberals are making us this into 1984. I was like, I'm sorry. You mean the private company that's choosing to do this? What bills and what laws have Democrats passed that are taking away your rights? And they changed the subject. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, convenient. Oh. Also, text messaging is convenient in that way. When you can just stop responding. All right, well,
I have no answer to that, so I'll go away.
So I think he instead quoted Fahrenheit 451. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to watch The Last of Us because it's Sunday night and I'm tired. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
In the headlines. Anything to be in the headlines.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. You are welcome to join the conversation. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. After this this segment, in the next segment, we're going to talk about who should get the 44,000 hours of January 6th footage. Because we know Tucker Carlson has them.
Yeah.
But now, basically every other outlet who probably has a better case for why they should have them has submitted a request that they also get them. So we'll talk a little bit more about that after this segment. But coming back, you said that we had a text?
We did. We were talking about the number of states across the country that are coming out with new laws limiting or banning drag performers, trans performers. Texter from the 920 checking in. So a female performing as Peter Pan,
I know,
is going to be banned. Does that mean Mrs. Doubtfire can't be shown at a theater? What about Shakespeare in Love? What about, there are numerous examples I can think of. What about Bosom Buddies?
I mean, I think
the
about
TV show.
I think about as a kid, I was just telling this story because someone asked me how I got into acting as a kid. And I said, we in the cul-de-sac neighborhood I grew up on, almost every single house had a kid. And two of the oldest girls of the children on the block were already very into theater. And so they had been part of children's theater in Madison. And so they knew how. So like we had, when I was six, we did a production of Cinderella. But like it wasn't just in an afternoon we did it. It was like a 6-week rehearsal schedule.
Wow.
And like there was costumes, like there was a whole thing. And then they went on the next summer, we did Beauty and the Beast. And guess who was the Beast?
Was it you?
It was me. I had some like brown wig and I think it was 4 inches shorter than the girl who played Belle because she was like 5 years older than me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But I was just shock, big shock. I was really loud.
I bet.
And so they thought I could do the roar and all this stuff. And then the next one I was the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So like I was a kid, I was a girl playing boy parts.
Can't do that.
You can't do that.
That's no.
Can't just like let kids be kids. And I think I played Uncle Sam in something when I was in fifth grade. And like Santa Claus and something. It's like I was just the charismatic performer kid and I just wanted the lead.
It's
no matter what gender it was.
I'm sorry, but you are grooming and confusing children, Kristen. And so that's no longer going to be allowed. Another text from the 414, just a thought. If certain clothing, for instance, that which desecrates the flag or some artistic work can't be prohibited based on freedom of speech, how can this proposed Tennessee law be constitutional? Does it not prohibit free expression in the same way?
Well, and that's why I was wondering, this would be a Jim Santel question or one of our legal friends, because there's a part of me that wonders if the ACLU is going to be all over this.
Yeah.
And try to challenge freedom of expression and like if this is actually constitutional, that you can limit if you're not, if it's not nudity and it's not, if you can't, like, how do you, you have to define it as some kind of obscenity, right?
I would assume so. To limit it?
See, this is when I have no interest in ever being a lawyer, but I wish I knew the law. You know what I mean? As far as being able to just talk eloquently about this, about what you can and cannot do.
Takes a lot of study. Although, again, I look at some of our representatives in Congress. They managed to get through law school. I would certainly think you and I can get through law school.
That's fair.
Right?
That is fair. Well, unless it's Pat Robertson's. What do you think Pat Robertson's law school was like?
Short. I think the classes were short.
I actually want to look into that more because obviously that was where Dan Kelly went and Jennifer Doro, but she is out of the race now. But now that looking a little bit more into the law school credentials
and curriculum,
if it follows everything that, you know, the other law schools like Marquette and UW-Madison and what they have to do.
I don't know. It might just the law according to Pat.
The law according to the Bible? Like, that's what I'm like. What in this scenario, like, what extra pizzazz do you get by going to like a Christian nationalist law school?
Well, there's a whole chapter on an eye for an eye.
Ah, yes. Retribution.
Exactly.
Love it.
Not turn the other cheek, but an eye for an eye. That's the one they like.
Actually, yeah. Well, I'm not going to have a lot of time to talk about this, but breaking news this morning, Mark Lazary.
Yeah.
Selling his shares or his stake in the Bucks to another shockingly very rich person.
Never saw that coming.
Never saw that coming. But Haslam's, I don't know if I'm saying it right. So it's a group, it's a man and a woman, or a man and a wife, who already own Cleveland?
The Browns.
The Browns, mm-hmm. Yes. And then it seems like some MLS minor league. MLS for Major League Soccer. We're already sports owners. So Mark Lazary exiting the Bucks. Don't know what that means for Alex.
Alex, when we just talked to him last week.
We just talked to him last week. I mean, I think I would assume that his job is secure and that, as he said, he will stay in Milwaukee and everything. But it's interesting because, you know, the worst case scenario as these teams get bought and sold to people who are trying to make money, because, you know, the numbers here, I think the valuation of the Bucks now is $3.5 billion.
Yeah, that's quite a jump.
And when Lazary and Edens bought it, it was $550 million.
Yeah, that's quite an improvement in your investment.
Yeah, that's money well spent. And so, but as something becomes more valuable, I think the biggest fear is always, when do they take the Bucks out of Milwaukee? Because they can. It's not like the Packers where they're a nonprofit, where no one will profit by them selling. And that's the only reason why the Green Bay Packers stay in Green Bay, is just because of how the entity is set up. But I don't know. I feel like whenever stuff like this happens, people's spidey senses get up and worried.
Well, can you imagine the outcry if they after building that stadium?
Yeah, that's true.
That arena, and they up and left? I think people would be annoyed.
That's true. All right, when we come back, who should get the January 6th 44,000 hours? And even more, who has to watch it? This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
The show.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Across the plains, they're surveying damage after tornadoes and powerful winds swept through. Some people in Michigan, meanwhile, are facing a fifth day without power after an ice storm struck last week. Democratic Congresswoman Elisa Slotkin of Michigan says she will seek the Senate seat being vacated by Democrat Debbie Stabenow, who will not run for re-election next year. Rescuers are searching for dozens of migrants feared dead and missing after their boat broke up on a reef. ABC's Ines de la Cotera is on the scene in Italy.
At least 62 people killed, including children. Rows of coffins laid out near the beach, dozens still missing at sea. At least 80 migrants found alive, clinging to the boat's wreckage. Some brought back to shore, wrapped in blankets. Officials saying the boat set out from Turkey days ago with nearly 200 people on board, most from Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Somalia.
The Supreme Court is gearing up to hear arguments over President Biden's student debt relief plan. This is ABC News.
In
news and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley, Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nat Nair. Here's what you need to know. After a quiet weekend of weather across the state, another winter storm is bringing rain, ice, and snow. Central and southeastern Wisconsin could see as much as 1.5 inches of rain over the course of the day, and with much of the ground still frozen, that makes it tougher for rain to seep into the ground or find storm drains. This could cause minor flooding in some areas, as well as water backing up into basements. Lower temperatures across the central part of Wisconsin could cause freezing rain that might impact traffic. And cause power outages. The northern counties with the potential to see 2 to 6 inches of snow and some ice during today's storm. A 56-year-old Pewaukee man who died recently while hiking in Grand Canyon National Park was a retired Waukesha County Sheriff's Deputy. Scott McDonald was found unresponsive along a trail on February 17th. He was pronounced dead by National Park Service search and rescue personnel. I'm Jane Matt-Nair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All my babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news?
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matt-Nair. Who should get the 44,000 hours of January 6th footage? Should anyone get it? I think is the question. And so 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY, because we didn't talk about this last week, despite it being fairly big news, that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy basically gave 44,000 hours of surveillance footage exclusively to Tucker Carlson.
In the interest of transparency.
In the interest of transparency.
Yes.
And Tucker told his viewers last Monday that his team would spend the week reviewing the footage before releasing its findings. And a reminder that Fox identifies Carlson as an opinion show. Not a news show.
Not news.
Not news.
No.
opinion.
Not news.
We're talking about practice? That's exactly where my mind just went. And Carlson has repeatedly questioned the significance of the attack and the conclusions that says it was, a bad thing.
And just a reminder that we also just found out within the last couple of weeks that Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity and even some of the management at Fox News knew that it was a lie that the 2020 election was stolen, but they wanted to respect their audience and give them what they wanted so they wouldn't lose ratings.
Yep. Actually, just listening to the Daily this morning, and it's this could be the one time that in what is usually so hard to accomplish, which is to sue a media company, because they have to show malice. And, you know, Fox's response to Dominion sharing some of the text messages and that show that Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, producers,
even Rupi,
even Murdoch, knowing the truth and yet moving forward because they were losing viewers to OAN and other ultra right wing outlets, that there's a chance. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that it was a weird choice. Yes. It was a weird choice to be like, yeah, like I'm going to give this exclusively to Tucker Carlson, an opinion right-wing show host, not, you know, the New York Times or the AP or the Washington Post or any of the, like, still credentialed
news outlets.
Not opinion outlets, news outlets. I mean, they didn't even give it to the news division of Fox.
There's a news division at Fox?
There is.
Is that a joke?
No, that's where Wallace worked for so long, and he was good. Chris Wallace was great. But then even he was like, I got to get out of here, man. Like, I don't know who's left, who's great. But anyways, so.
Just one side note while we're talking about that. Howard Kurtz, who was on the Fox Business Channel, I believe.
Okay.
Yesterday even said on his program that he believes he should be reporting on the Dominion lawsuit because it's a big story, but management won't let him.
Wait, he said that on air?
Yes.
Oh, that's
interesting. Yep, I would like to cover it. I think it's worth covering, but
I'm not allowed to
because, you know, we're involved. We're being sued by this company.
Which, I mean, then how can you actually trust his reporting on it as well? So I understand that there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there. But as a reporter, I can understand him being like, ah!
Dudes, this is a story.
So just quickly, Brian Stile.
Our Brian Stile
defended the move, and he claimed that the move was made in an effort to be transparent. And this was his quote: "I support Speaker McCarthy's decision to increase transparency for the American people." And he is the leader of the House Administration Committee, which oversees Capitol security. So this is why his quote matters. He said, "This majority is focused on accountability, transparency, and restoring the people's trust."
I'm sorry.
And he accused the January 6th committee of selectively leaking footage and noted that former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Alexandra Pelosi, filmed footage for a documentary that she was filming that included video of lawmakers' hideaways as supporters of former President Donald Trump stormed the Capitol. So, in that effort of him saying we are trying to restore the people's trust and have transparency, hopefully that means Brian Stile will also be in favor of the other news outlets that are saying, what about us?
I have a feeling, just Spidey's senses are tingling, that Brian Stile will not agree with releasing all of that same footage to actual news outlets.
I guess we'll see. Someone should ask him.
Yeah.
But over the weekend, or I guess this was on Friday, scores of news organizations on Friday demanded congressional leaders release all of the surveillance footage from January 6th to them as well. So This was a letter sent on the behalf of CBS News, Washington Post, CNN, Politico, ProPublica, ABC, Axios, Advance, Scripps, The Los Angeles Times, Gannett, all saying that this footage should be available to them as well. And so this was a quote from that. Without full public access to the complete historical record, there is concern that an ideologically based narrative of an already polarizing event will take hold in the public consciousness. You don't say. With destabilizing risks to the legitimacy of Congress, the Capitol Police, and the various federal investigations and prosecutions of January 6 crimes, the letter stated. I would have to agree with them.
I think it's tough to argue against it.
Yes. And so the Associated Press and New York Times sent a separate letter to McCarthy specifically seeking access to the material. And McCarthy has just been zipped. He hasn't. He's been silent about the footage. He hasn't spoken publicly or responded to questions about the release. And even in the articles I was reading this morning about Friday's letter, has not responded to comment. And so I guess this opens up. Instead of, I feel like it feels obvious that if Tucker gets it, everyone else should get it too. So I guess that's question number one, is should everyone else get it? But also, should anyone get it? Because at least on its face, what Democrats are arguing as to why their argument against the initial handing over all of this footage to Tucker was that it's a security threat.
Of course.
And saying that, you know, when the January 6th committee chose what they would air, they had worked really closely with the Capitol Police to choose what footage got shown, because there's worry about sensitive information like the pathways lawmakers took to get to their secure locations, where Capitol Police have cameras throughout all of the property.
Right. Wouldn't that kind of information really help people if they wanted to do another coup?
Yes.
Oh.
I guess they could just move all of them, because that doesn't seem like a small task. And so I guess the question number one is, in the name of transparency and public trust, should this footage be released at all? And I guess then if yes, shouldn't it be released to all news outlets? Do you have a strong feeling on this?
I do. Well, it's already out there. You know, the Pandora's box has been opened. Mm-hmm. They gave it to Tucker. Now it has to go to everyone. I think there are security issues, and I think that that's going to be an ongoing problem. I do look forward to seeing all of Tucker's footage about people just standing around during a normal tourist visit, holding hands and singing Kumbaya, because I know that happened a lot that day. And again, never forget that this is the network when Bill O'Reilly was still there and their number one star, Bill O'Reilly, during the Act 10 protests in Madison, aired footage allegedly from Madison in February that had palm trees in the background. So I know who I trust. I know which network I can go to when I need the absolute unadulterated truth, Kristen Bright.
It's funny to think about what, first of all, 44,000 hours of footage.
That's a job.
What intern has to go sit and watch that? Remember when we talked about, I think it was Mandela Barnes' tweets, and someone had like whose job it was to go through all like 44,000 of them for like the last decade or whatever it was. And just because it reminds me of the people whose job it is at social media platforms to be the like the human content moderators who are watching like obscene,
violent,
awful footage that people upload willingly.
Yes.
And I'm sure some of it is boring, but also, I don't know. I mean, it also opens the question of like, is there stuff that's actually, because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that's boring, right? Certainly the things that have been shown throughout the January 6th committee hearings were chosen to demonstrate what the day was like, but also to elicit emotion.
Of course.
Right? And so I'm sure thousands of the hours are actually quite boring. and people just waiting, standing until everything kind of erupted. But also, I wonder if there's stuff that's worse.
Some of it, at least what the January 6th committee released, was so violent and so disturbing that much like those content moderators that you mentioned, that's these people are going to need psychological counseling after going through all of that footage. It's hard to watch, I think. It's hard to watch Americans doing this to other Americans.
And so I don't know. Like I think I'm with you as far as what's out there.
You gotta give it away now.
And so now it has to go to more credible sources or unbiased sources or bias. I mean, at this point, or bias, right? Because you've chosen something that is you like objectively biased as far as we all know the side that's coming from. There's an argument as far as the role it plays, fine, that it's right to exist. And having a different point of view and like that is a different question, but it is objectively biased as far as especially their opinion programming. If you want to try to argue that their news programming is not fine, but certainly their opinion programming, which is what Tucker Carlson is.
Yes. He is not a newsman.
And so this is like the equivalent of handing it over to the Daily Show and letting the Daily Show do their editing master, like their math. Like the people who are the editors at Daily Show and the way that they find stuff and cut stuff together into a montage to prove a point, I wonder what they would do with this footage.
And last week tonight too with John Oliver.
What is there anything in there that could be funny?
That is an interesting question.
Like, is there anything that one of the comedy shows, if they also got access? I did not see Comedy Central's name on the list of people who signed off on the letter to try to get all of this information and all this footage. But, you know, without Jordan Klepper there interviewing people, is there anything there that could have been, used for a comedy bit?
Oh, I don't know. I think Josh Hawley running away could be clipped.
That's true.
Into something.
People have already done that, though.
I know, but there's potential there. There's more potential there.
Speaking of which, this is totally random. There's a video going around right now of Ted Cruz trying to sing Amazing Grace, and it's basically to the tune of Gilligan's Island.
What?
I feel like I have to send it to you so we can air it. But it is so weird, and it's like, the clip is basically like him like proving that he knows the lyrics to Amazing Grace. He goes, I can't even replicate it. But it reminded me of just like when some of these guys are just so weird.
And Ted Cruz went to Harvard.
Also went to Harvard. Yep. And did he go to Yale Law School?
I believe so, yes.
Harvard undergrad, Yale Law School?
Yep.
See?
We could pass.
All right, when we come back, they're speeding up baseball. Good thing or bad thing? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Man, ain't that news. My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Good news. Good news. Ain't that good news?
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Madnair. So I like going to a baseball game.
Yeah.
I don't really watch baseball at home. I don't like sit and watch a baseball game. And part of it is because there is not a lot of action.
There's a lot of downtime.
And, you know, for a while, in all the professional sports, like, you kind of hear about this, like, there's a little tweaking here or there as far as, I feel like every year the NFL always has new
does
rules.
Something.
But the league, the Major League Baseball, is trying to speed up its games, and it could be working. So, in a training game over the weekend, the Atlanta Braves and Boston Red Sox ended in a 6-6 tie after Braves player Cal Conley struck out for not getting set in the batter's box in time.
What?
So he struck out not because there was three strikes, but because he didn't get into the batter box in time.
So it's all the dinking around with fixing your gloves and tweaking this and gripping up on the club and doing all that stuff before you step into the batter's box. And
yeah.
Okay.
So in time is not a phrase you often hear associated with baseball, but that is largely all of the kind of tweaks that they're trying to make to the game as the league enters its Sonic the Hedgehog era. And, you know, it's getting, I think there's concerns that it's getting disrupted by faster paced sports, which arguably, besides like golf, most other sports, I would say, are. I mean, I'm sure there's some baseball enthusiasts who would say, are going to be very upset about this.
No doubt.
But it is slow. And it also can last forever.
4.5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
6 hours.
And so MLB is disrupting itself by introducing new rules this year to speed up the game and generate more offense. So some of the rules include a pitch clock, so pitchers and hitters can't loaf around in between pitches. I like the term loaf around. They can't dilly-dally.
Oh, dilly-dally is even better.
The elimination of extreme defensive shifts to encourage more offense. See, I don't know enough about baseball to even know what that means. Do you know what that means?
You're asking me?
I know. No. Well, there's no one else here.
I could make something up, but it would be wrong.
Bigger bases to boost the number of stolen bases.
Oh, there are baseball fans who are going to scream about
this. I know. Bigger, I mean, I wonder how much bigger we're talking. Are we talking like an inch, or are we talking like cartoon sized?
Well, if you're going to do it right. You may as well make them gigundo.
Yeah.
But now you're tweaking with the purity of the game.
You're also tweaking with the skill of the players, right? You're making it easier, which I guess is the point. But they're also limiting the number of mound disengagements, like pickoff throws. Again, I don't know enough about baseball to even know what that is. But yeah, and so those don't feel like small changes.
No, they don't.
Especially to strike out because you took too long.
Well, but see, that I think would be the biggest motivator. It's like, again, you fixed your gloves three times already. That should be enough. Get in there and swing at the ball.
It's kind of like during the championship, the Bucks championship in 2021 where they were counting because Giannis took so long to shoot his free throws. And so they'd count to 10. And now he's a little bit faster, but he did. He really took his time before, and he still wasn't very good that year.
He does a lot of other things well.
He does. He does. But so, yeah, so it's going to take some getting used to, I think, for a lot of people. I'm sure there's going to be people who are very upset.
And players, too, because, and we've talked about this before, at least as far as I am aware, baseball players are among the most superstitious and have their, and have their rituals that they do.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, the big picture is that for fans who love baseball but can't justify spending 3 hours watching it, especially when there's like 180 games a season, these could be welcome changes. This one of the games over the weekend, the Padres versus the Mariners game on Friday, took only 2 hours and 29 minutes.
Wow.
To complete.
That's quick.
About 40 minutes shorter than last year's regular season average per ESPN. So,
and is this, they're hoping to get to attract more young people because they have the attention span of a flea? Is that what this is all about?
I mean, I think it's, yes. I think it's just in general trying to stay relevant. I mean, I certainly think it, you can't deny the fact that while baseball might be America's pastime, it's certainly not its present compared to the NFL. And even, I don't know what viewership and rate, like the ratings for the World Series is compared to the NBA Finals. And so I would have to look up what the actual ratings are, because I think we know that it's dominant for the NFL. But when it comes to the hierarchy between NHL, NBA, and MLB, like where do the ratings fall, especially for big games?
We have a call at 844-967-2789. Ben from Oshkosh, checking in on Asgo's, Wisconsin. What do you want to say, Ben?
Hey, guys. I was watching the Brewers Cactus League the other day, and from my understanding, the back of the bases is in the same position, and with the bigger bases, that actually shrinks the infield. And then, you know, the faster pacing, which I think is just a way to get more advertising.
Hmm.
I doubt it's something that the players union asked for.
Did you notice a game? Like, was it noticeable when you were watching? Like, could you feel the game clipping along at a faster pace?
They have a giant countdown clock, like right behind the batter, and it feels rushed. It feels like they're taking the romance away from the game. And I really hope they don't use these new rules for the Field of Dreams game that they have in the fall.
Oh, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Thanks for the call, Ben. That's what I mean. I feel like for people who are baseball
purists, yes,
this is going to be a struggle to adjust to. But that's also the same thing. It's not as violent. But, you know, I hear all the time people talk about the difference of the NFL in the 80s and how much more like gladiators it was then versus what it is now. And I'm like, well, is that such a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing.
It's still pretty violent.
Yes.
People still, like, someone almost died this year.
They still get way hurt.
All right. Well, that will do it for our first hour. When we come back, Professor John Shelton will be here to talk about his new book. And then after that, we'll talk about organ donors. You should do it. And is there more to it than just signing up at the DMV? That was like my first question, because I actually don't know if there's another step besides like, yes, I will do this. Yes, I have to wear glasses. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. Yeah. I can be. So put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado
and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others. You just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.